Epilogue. Time is a gift. I have loved my many unique experiences and memorable adventures. The lows in my life enabled me to appreciate the highs. I don't know and cannot know what my life would have been without ADHD, but my life has been and continues to be interesting and exciting. I would not trade that for anything. The movie Shadowlands is about the love between a proper, repressed, conservative English professor, C.S. Lewis, and an outgoing, outspoken, and sometimes outrageous American divorcee, Joy Davidman. They've been married for 4 years when Joy learns she is dying of cancer. Although I am a romantic and vicariously experienced the couple's emotional roller coaster, the part of the story that remains with me is Joy's philosophy of life. Beneath the couple's happiness, there's an undercurrent of sadness. They found happiness only to realize it was time-limited. Their joyful times were broken by Joy's winces of pain and sudden fatigue, continual reminders of the fleeting nature of life. Lewis wants to believe Joy is not ill, to focus only on their happy times. Joy maintains that they must acknowledge and accept their sorrow to appreciate their happiness. She believes by knowing one side of life, anguish and pain, they better appreciate and value the other, contentment and joy. If their troubled and unhappy times are unacknowledged, their happy times will be less treasured, their joyful times less valued. In the movie, Lewis and Joy drive to a peak and look down on a valley. Their car trip symbolizes an acceptance of life's entire fabric, the peaks and the valleys. In our culture, we seek the good life, having sufficient money, memorable experiences, good health, devoted family and friends, and few worries. While no one seeks difficulties or wishes hardship on another, imagine how bland and boring the world would be if we all lived the good life and lived it our entire lives. Perhaps my New England background shows, but how would we develop character? I lived the good life until 28 years old. The tragedies in my life were not getting my driver's license at 16 and not getting into the college of my choice. When I married Steve, I thought my good life was secured. He was considerate, honest, handsome, and a future surgeon. I was earning my master's degree in social work. It never occurred to me that my life would not always be wonderful, that we would not always be happy. I look back and wonder how I lived to age 28 with these beliefs intact. When I was 27, I gave birth to Allison. And when I was 28, she died. I learned that no one can count on life being the way we want it to be. After Allison's death, Steve said, "I should have put the pills away." He believed he was responsible for her death, but I was responsible, not Steve. Repeatedly, I recalled the times I inadequately watched Allison, the times I put her at risk through my inattentiveness. I buried my hurt, pain, and sorrow of her death inside. For 23 years, I told only one person, a mother who also had a child die, that I had a baby daughter who died. I was an unfit mother. How could I have caused my daughter's death? How could I ever care for another child? 22 years after Allison's death, I was diagnosed with inattentive ADHD. My diagnosis revived my grief for our daughter, Steve, and me. Now, years after my diagnosis, I accept it all, the good in my life and the bad. My work to get ADHD in adults recognized and understood helps, as I bond with those who struggle to manage their lives in concert with society's expectations. If your life only contains good fortune, that is your good fortune. Troubles, problems, sadness, and sorrow can come knocking any time on anyone's door. On a shelf in our bedroom sits a little gold-colored cardboard box weighing 1 pound, 12 ounces. The white label on the box says, Blight's Funeral Home, 316 Florentia Street, Seattle, Washington. This package contains the cremated remains of Allison Marion Hammer. Date of death, January 21, 1973. We lived in Seattle for over a year after Allison's death, but we never went for her ashes. We talked about going, but never did. We left Seattle for Kentucky. 2 years later, we moved to Tacoma, only 30 miles from Seattle, but still we did not go. Many years passed. When I feared the funeral home would dispose of her ashes, I called and was told to come. We brought her remains home in the little gold box, but that was all we did. It was too hurtful to consider a final parting. Several times we talked about what we should do. What about planting a tree in the backyard and putting her ashes beneath it? I asked, but then answered myself, no, that won't work. What will happen when we leave this house? I don't want her left behind. I don't want her left with other people. Then we talked about bringing her when we hiked at Mount Rainier and releasing her to the wind in one of our favorite places on the mountain. My brother's sister and I did this with our parents' ashes, releasing them at a lake where they had gone for years after dinner to swim, read their books, and enjoy the peaceful setting. They sat in collapsible chairs on a treed hillside that overlooked the lake, often commenting, "Isn't it a glorious evening?" I was familiar with the drill. Carry the ashes to a favorite place, open the container, and let the ashes flow with the breeze. However, in researching our plan for Mount Rainier, we learned it was illegal to dispose of ashes in a national park. Years passed. We thought of going out on a boat in Commencement Bay and spilling the ashes over the side, but we never followed through. More years passed. Finally, when writing our wills, we decided to combine our ashes with Allison's and have them tossed to the winds. She will stay with us until then, in the cardboard box, on a shelf, in our bedroom. Life is difficult. Accept that, and the rest becomes easier. My struggles have enabled me to accept everything in my life. I no longer say, I live the good life. Instead, I say, I live a full life. I have experienced the range of life's emotions, from fear to courage, anger to peace and contentment, anxiety to confidence, and depression to happiness. While we cannot always control what happens in our lives, we can control our response. And in our responses, we determine the kind of people we are. I am not an impulsive shopper, but when I saw a poster with the words below and a picture of two children fully absorbed in the moment, I bought it. It reminds me to make the most of my life. For a life to have meaning and depth, we must accept everything. Each event has meaning and value, even if the meaning and value are only to make us who we are and to give our journey its unique and special character. Enjoying. Paying attention. No hurry to get on to something more important. Whatever we are doing is important. Experiencing each moment along the way. Time is a gift.